Okay, guys, welcome to the Dutch Bros Experience podcast. We are on line 10 of the Dutch Creed, and so just to finish this off, and you know what, side celebration, this is actually our 50th episode of the podcast, which is pretty awesome.
What?
Yeah, so we brought in, you know, the one and only Mr. Travis Boersma to sit with us on the red couch to discuss Dutch Bros and the Creed. Hey, Trev, what's up?
What's up, dude? I thought I was on the Howard Stern show.
I know, you what for happened? A second there. Well,
come on.
We got to bring it back down to reality. Like, here we go. Okay, we got to get some stuff done.
He must have a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
By the way, there's an Adam Levine on Howard Stern that does a Prince Purple Rain song, and I didn't even know he could play guitar.
He can actually
shred a guitar. He might be better at shredding a guitar than singing.
Wow. Well.
I'm just saying.
Well, let's bust into this Creed line. It's to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble. So that's a lot. There's a lot in that for sure. But I want to actually ask you, Trev, I know that we've already kind of mentioned a little bit that this is actually the Optimist Creed that we've adopted it, but how did it all come about?
Gosh, it was 2001, and your dad and I were sitting at DBHQ, which was the old school warehouse on F Street. And Dave Morris was in New York and he was doing his thing back there. And he sent it to me and thought that it would be really radical to have with our business. And he thought that there was so much synergy with what we did in the business, with the culture and the people, and just thought it would be a cool tool and a little thing that would be of value for us to check out.
Yeah. You know? How do we really start incorporating it? How did that come in?
You know, I think we like thought it was so cool. We posted it in the office, in the warehouse, and then we'd read through it and go, wow, this is bitching, man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think we just said, well, why don't we just adopt it and make it part of what we do and how we function. And, and you know, it was so much the way we lived. And so much of the principles and values that I think really we stood for, that it was just something that we incorporated into what we did every day.
Yeah. Well, this line specifically really talks about worry and anger.
Yeah, and those are weird behaviors, you know, those things, right? So worry, you know, I mean, when I think about worry. And it's interesting, really reflecting back, talking with your dad. You know, we talk about, well, why worry about stuff, man? I mean, it's like you're making it real when it doesn't even exist. You know, I mean, you might as well be telling yourself a lie. You might as well be living the ultimate, like, tragedy that you're so worried about. You know, you're really living it.
Yeah.
So don't worry, man. I mean, you know, Bobby McFerrin, don't worry, be happy kind of stuff.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, worry is really part of fear in a weird way.
Well, fear, I mean, fear is the devil, man.
Yeah.
Fear is false evidence appearing real. It's, you know, it's everywhere. We all have fear. We have two fears. You know, we either fear that we're not going to be loved or we fear that we're not good enough. And everyone possesses that, whether they're consciously aware of it or not. And, you know, the fact of the matter is you can flip those fears into, I think, opportunities or things that can fuel your desire to maybe goals or outcomes or things that you want in your life of who you want to be, where you want to go. Man, I can tell you, you know, the fear of not being good enough, I think has served me in so many ways. It's also worked against me as a man. So being in that place, And really driving and pressing boundaries and trying to persevere. And, you know, part of my mission statement is against all odds. And I love the underdog. You know, I love to see the underdog win. And I think oftentimes that can fuel an underdog. Mm-hmm. And so I think in so many ways that's fueled me. I consider myself an underdog, I guess. But you got to be careful with it because it can consume you. And then if you're not in a place of really trying to figure out and manage how to best deal with that, then it's it can tear you up. And so I had to come up with this little line that was like, if you give an honest effort, it's more than good enough.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have something like that, you never, ever, ever feel like you're good enough. And you're always working tirelessly
right
to try and be adequate.
that fear leads into you worrying that you're not going to be good enough, that you're not going to be in, and then you find yourself being angry at yourself or angry at others. And it's not even just. It's not even like, it's like, wow. All of a sudden, I mean, I found myself in that place plenty of times where I'm like, you know, I start to fear this area of not being good enough, and then it leads into this like, well, worry, and I start tripping out, my mind goes crazy, and then all of a sudden it leads into this anger of like being like pissed at myself or upset with other people, and it's like, this isn't even a real thing. The thing that I like about this line in the Creed a lot is like, it's to be too large, too noble, and too strong, and then too happy, you know, because the last bit is too happy to permit the presence of trouble, because the reality, like, I think, is that trouble is always around. You know, I mean, right now with Dutch Bros, we're growing so fast that it's like, well, there's a lot of trouble that it kicks up, you know, and it's not necessarily trouble, but it's more like there is a lot of hurdles and a lot of craziness.
You know, trouble, problems, challenges,
yeah.
Things that we encounter, things that we find ourselves in that we didn't anticipate. Things that maybe are happening around us. It's, you know, what I love about the Creed is it puts into perspective a state of mind and a choice that is necessary to make so that you can feel good.
Yeah.
And so making a conscious choice leads to a great feeling, or making a poor choice consciously,
yeah,
or unconsciously, subconsciously, leads to negative feelings. So you can find yourself in a downward spiral that absolutely consumes you into a place of oblivion.
Yeah.
You know, well, how do you navigate your path out of oblivion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that question right there, there's great answers to. And the Creed has those answers.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be that you have a mindset, you make a choice. To be happy, to me, isn't something that lands on your lap. It's not something that happens to you. It happens within you. You foster it. It's something that you've got to consciously figure out, what is the recipe for me to be happy? There are things that I can choose to do that end up filling my happiness bucket so that I can smile.
Yeah.
And it might just be a body language movement like a smile.
Right.
If I smile, man, it's hard to be pissed.
Yeah.
You know, if I frown, totally. It's hard to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So it's an interesting place, but that's what I love about the Creed so much, is too happy to permit the presence of trouble. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, that's a choice.
Yeah. Having that perspective doesn't change the fact that there's still challenges. You know, the challenges don't go away.
Nope.
But now you have it creates in you like something greater to face them with.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean I don't get pissed. Doesn't mean I don't get sad. It doesn't mean that I don't have bummer days. It doesn't mean that I don't find myself in oblivion.
Yeah.
But I can tell you what, man, I can find my way out of it.
Right.
I can find my way out of it. There's a way.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's knowing that these things happen for a greater reason than what we're privileged to understand. And that's beyond our control.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, once we release control to a higher power, then we've got the potential to dig ourselves out of the hole.
Yeah. Well, I know that I've gotten to watch you kind of, you've changed a lot since I've known you.
What are you talking about? What are you saying, man?
But I know that, you know, you have definitely, there's a lot that goes on in your world. So how do you stay fresh? What do you do to maintain that eye on the prize? How do you keep it so that you can readjust and realign and come back to that focus of that? Like, what do you do to keep you back on, and get you back on pace and on track?
Well, while I've changed a ton, I'm still the same. You know, I'm the same man that I've ever been. And, you know, the principles and the values and the character and the integrity and the things that I care greatly about, even throughout my walk, throughout my life, yes, I've made horrible choices. Yes, I've made unbelievable mistakes. And those things I carry with me sometimes still today, but they serve me. They serve me in my life on how I want to live and who I want to be as a man. And so it's finding the way to take the problems, the challenges, the mistakes, and find the equivalent advantage and learn and grow from it and apply it, most importantly. So, you know, I mean, I've got a lot to learn still. I'm 45. I don't think that there's going to be a day that goes by on this, in this life, on this earth, where I'm not learning and growing. And the hope is that I can still have the creed as a focal point so that, you know, I can smile at my grandkids and be that ray of sunshine and make that optimism come true. You know, I can be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong to permit the presence of trouble.
Yeah.
Those things are big.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to showcase those things to my kids, and I want to showcase those things to my community.
Yeah. I think it's cool that you said that, that you've made mistakes, that you've done these things, but they don't go away. You know, like the mistakes, like all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, no, no, that didn't happen anymore. You know, but they can serve as a, like a reminder to you that it's like, hey, you're capable of failing. You're capable of doing, making bad choices. So
well,
now you
dude,
can
I can tell you right now, man, if I can go farther in my life from the mistakes that I've made, anybody can.
Yeah.
Anybody can, because, you know, I mean, some of the shit, man, was like stuff that, you know, people don't recover from.
Yeah.
They get consumed in it. It can tear you up. It can spit you out. I should be dead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all the behaviors, all the activities, I should be dead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could be a grease spot on the sidewalk. I could be in a gutter. I could be in a ditch. And this is the thing. Lucky am I.
Yeah.
I'm the luckiest man to ever live. That's part of my motto, man. I mean, that's what I really believe in my heart and my soul, man. I've had luck come my way. Well, my definition of luck is where opportunity meets your preparation. Are you prepared? Are you always prepared? Are you ready for the opportunity? No. But I heard this quote from Joe Montana once, and I thought it was rad. Somebody asked him, he said, man, you know, you appear to be cool and calm and collected. And when it's the game is on the line, you know, are you ever nervous? And he goes, man, I'm nervous in every game that I've ever played. He goes, but there's a difference between being prepared for a test in school and not being prepared for the test in school. And that feeling of nervousness when you're prepared can serve you. And that feeling of nervousness when you're not prepared can work against you. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, that meant a ton to me. So I try to be as prepared as I can possibly be, knowing that things are going to happen around me. And my objective is to find the solution, find the equivalent advantage to move to learn from, to grow within.
Yeah, that's cool. There's a lot that's gone on over the last, almost 25, well, I mean, really, I guess 25 years. Because back, I mean, 25 years ago, you're in the old milk barn, you know, listening to Led Zeppelin and making, you know, all kinds of varieties of mochas to decide which one was best.
Yeah, my 21st year of life was a good one.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And definitely, you know, throughout DB, you know, there's been a lot of things that have gone on and a lot of changes that have been made and a lot of evolving, which has been awesome. And as we're continuing to grow and continuing to move, where is it that you're looking for, I mean, you had this, the Creed came in and was like, this is something that is really relatable for us in Dutch Bros. Let's bring it in. Is there other like examples that you're looking to now that you're like, wow, that's something that we can relate to. That's something that I like this and I want to tweak it a little bit, or I want to do this differently in it. But what are some of the things that you're mirroring after?
You know what? I think the more simple we can make things, the better it is. You know, I think we have a tendency as people to overcomplicate, to make things complex, make things difficult to navigate. And at the end of the day, it's pretty simple, man. I think it's trying to do the right thing. And I think it's doing what you can with what you have where you are. And be present in the moment. You know, being present with where you are and doing what you can with what you have has exponential benefits. And it's hard to be present.
Yeah.
We're so focused on the future, we're so often focused on our past, that we're not really where we are. I think everybody's guilty of that to some degree. I know that I am. But that's something that I'm always trying to figure out is like, man, how do we just keep it simple And how do we make this life as enjoyable as it can be? My mission statement serves me. The more I say it, the more ingrained it becomes. It's part of who I am and what I do. I, Travis Borsma, see here, know the purpose of my life is to maximize the moment, to enjoy the journey, to be a loving, passionate, inspirational leader that defies the odds, to be a force for God and a force for good. I focus on that. I have to remind myself of it. As much as I've said it out loud, as much as I've focused on it, I don't think it's ever going to be good enough. It's just a continual area of improvement, and we're never going to arrive.
Yeah. Did you ever imagine it would be like this?
You know what? And I get asked that question a lot, and this is the thing that I is probably more real than anything else. You can set goals and you can put visions into place. You know, it starts with a dream that kind of comes into a vision. And these goals, big, hairy, audacious goals, like what Jim Collins would say, right? I mean, they're like stuff that you can't even hardly imagine. And then, you know, when you get to those places, there's no way that you know what it's actually really going to be like until you're there. And then when you're in it, you never really think about what it was that you'd be doing in it. So I had no idea what the hell I would be doing for real,
yeah.
You know, and what I'm doing in my role. And I think that's where I'm like, man, it's something bigger than what I get the ability to try and understand. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than us. And certainly I have an area of responsibility or a role to play. But no, you know, I mean, I had no idea what the hell I would be doing or what it would look like specifically. But man, so much of what we set as goals really has come to fruition. You know, it's like saying, man, I would love to go to Dubai. Want to go to Dubai? Let's go to Dubai.
I'm in.
You know, well, we have this idea in our minds of what Dubai might be, and we maybe seen some pictures or whatever. But until you really go there, until you travel and actually set foot onto the ground and go through the city, you have no real idea of what the experience is going to be like.
Yeah. No, I can relate to that with like New York City. I have Luke Norby, like one of my best friends ever. He's lived there for like 5+ years now. And he's always like, man, come to New York. And I had this idea of what New York was. And I'm like, dude, it's going to be crazy. I don't like super big crowds of people that I don't know, you know, like, and I've gotten to visit him twice now. And it's like, I love that place now. But I have a totally different perspective in my brain now of what it is because I've actually gotten to experience it and feel it and go. And
it's because you went and saw Hamilton.
And that was legit, by the way.
I got to do that.
Unbelievable.
That's bucket list stuff.
Unreal. You need to go do it. You need to go because it's amazing show.
Yeah, I haven't been, but if anybody's out there and is listening, that you got to go.
Go see check Hamilton. It out. It's unreal. It'll blow your mind. I told my wife because I'd like to go. I'm like, I want to go see it again. And she's like, well, good luck. It's sold out. I'm like, well, yeah, babe. I'm like, it's always going to be sold out. And she's like, well, then how? It's like the hardest ticket to get. I'm like, but you know what, babe? Like, you just got to try to find it. Go find it.
Is it harder than Jimmy Fallon?
No, I don't think so. Jimmy Fallon's hard to get.
I want to go see Jimmy, man.
Dude, Jimmy Fallon does it where he releases tickets out and you can't buy them.
So it's almost as tough as The Price is Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Weird.
Those game shows and that those, stuff is those weird, shows man. Are... Yeah, why can't people just do the simple thing and charge for a ticket? You know what I mean? Why do you got to make it hard?
There'd probably be a bunch of weirdos in the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. I know, right? They're like, oh, no.
It'd be like Suits. He's like Suits and people being proper.
Like, yeah, I'm a season ticket holder for the Jimmy Fallon show. You know, I got row three. What kind of podcasts do you listen to currently? I know that you do a lot of that on your bike rides and stuff.
I like to listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast. The reason that I listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast is I like to hear the guests. I like the variety. I'm a variety junkie. So when I hear people who have written books and it gives me an inclination of what the book may be about, then I may download the damn book and I try to listen to the book because I'm really slow at reading and I suck at retaining information. So it's wild, man. I mean, I'm like, Peyton, my 13-year-old, absolutely rips and shreds through books like I can't even imagine. And, I, you know, here I am like, the cat walked down the road. And I'm thinking about the Yankee game. Yeah, you know, I'm right. like, dude, wait, what did the cat do? Yeah. You know, I mean, that's where I'm at with it. So, you know, an audiobook for me is great. I get out on my bike and I have an opportunity to digest information, learn and grow from people who have been through different experiences. And that podcast is fantastic because of the variety in it. I've listened to Fresh Life podcast. I think it's rad. There's great spiritual depth and meaning and purpose with the Fresh Life podcast. And then, you know, the MFCEO is certainly entertaining and it's wild and woolly, man. And there's guys like Gary Vee on it and stuff. Yeah. And that's kind of a nice mix up. So, you know, you can see how wild in my pendulum of variety I go.
It swings around.
Yeah.
I find it for my brain that I, like, if I listen to one podcast too much, I'm like, okay, I can't, I'm over it. I need to find a new one. The variety of it is a huge deal. Well, I know that we've sat here for a long time and you got a lot of things going on. If you could address all the Dutch nation right now, what would you say to them?
Well, you know, I was watching this video this morning and my favorite toy is YouTube. I love pulling up music videos. I love documentary. I love biography. I love realism, authenticity. I'm watching the story of Joe Walsh, and he's sharing about when he bought his first guitar. And he was like playing a clarinet, and he was like, man, you know, I need to play a different instrument because I want to sing. And he said, you know, with a clarinet, he wasn't really getting chicks. And so he thought, man, if he could play a guitar, dude, he could probably get chicks. So he bought a guitar from Sears Roebuck in the mail order catalog before nice. Amazon was ever around, right? And the guitar showed up and it was $40 and it landed on his doorstep and he picked it up and he never set it down and he still never got any chicks. But this is the thing. So many people around us are saying they want to do something. Yeah. They're saying they want to go do something, but they're not doing it.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is pick up the guitar if you want to play guitar. Just start.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to start somewhere by doing something to get there. That little four-step process that I often reference, you know, is know your specific outcome, take massive action. That second step, taking massive action, is everything. If you never take action, you will never, ever do anything. You've got to take action. Yeah. You got to be willing to fail. Don't let fear get in your way. Let freedom reign, man. Go for it. You got one shot in this life. We're in it. What are you waiting for? It's game time, man. We're in the game. We're playing the game of life. And we got one shot to do it. Let's play ball, man. Let's do it at the highest level. Let's go nuts. Let's let it all hang out and let's have a great time doing it because we only got one time.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get to pick winner how we go, man. We get to choose how we think and feel.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's awesome. I actually read, I'm reading the 4-Hour Work Week, which is not how I thought it would, like, I put it off forever because I'm like, okay, work 4 hours and then chill by a beach. I'm like, that does not sound like what I want. But I started listening to Tim Ferriss' podcast and
I got to check that out.
It's great. Well, I think you said you listened to some of the Mike Rowe one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That episode on there.
Mike Rowe, Deadliest Catch. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, he.
Dirty Jobs.
Dirty Jobs, man, with Mike Rowe. But so I started.
There's another example of a dude who just went nuts. Took massive action. He just did it.
Yeah.
He went full-fledged, head first, go for it. You got to go. You got to take action.
Well, I started reading the 4-Hour Workweek book, and one of the things that it said in there, and I think this relates to this line of the creed, it was saying one of the things you need to be, because it's not talking about, it's just talking about designing what do you want out of your life? That's what 4-Hour Workweek's really about. And the line was like, he's like, be really good at apologizing and saying sorry, because he's like, most people don't want to upset anyone else, you know, they don't want to offend anybody, so like there's fear of like hurting anybody's feelings or disappointing somebody, their parents or their friends.
Dude, I want to take this opportunity right now just to apologize to everyone. I am sorry. I mean it.
Amen.
I really do.
Yeah.
I mean it. I'm sorry for anything and everything that I've ever done.
I forgive you.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know about everybody else, but I will.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in today, sitting on the red couch with us.
Yeah, I'm happy you mopped it down before
I
sat
down. Yeah, there was a lot of filth on this thing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess to say out to the Dutch Nation, man, go take some action, like Trev said. Just do. But don't forget to be too large. Don't forget to be too noble, not to be too strong. And happiness, man, like Trev said, it's within you. And so to go out and to seize it, but to have it with this sense of gratitude, it's going to make things, may not make things easier, but it's not going to make things harder.
One thing that we didn't touch on was the anger part.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, man, anger leads to hostility. So everyone is going to get mad at some point in your life. And it's contagious. And it can be like something that absolutely takes you to a place where you are fish out of water and you're not healthy and you're not perceived as being someone that cares or is loving. And that is irrational behavior. So be very guarded with your anger management, and realize that you made a choice. Nobody makes you mad. You make yourself mad. And it's by the story that you tell yourself. If you accept someone's anger, then you own it. And if you don't accept it, they do. So, you know, just be guarded, man. You know, let's do it this way. Stiff arm anger with a smile.
No doubt. All right, Dutch Nation. We love you guys. Hope that you guys are having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you on the flip side.
Peace.
See you.
Awesome. Thanks, Trev.
That was awesome. Thank you, dude.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.